So far, the reading of God's holy word. We now turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, page 895. Page 895 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnal, Lord's Day 49. The text for the sermon of this afternoon we find in the third petition. Lord's Day 49, where we echo the word of God. First, the question is asked, what does the third petition mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means, help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any backtalk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. That's Lord's Day 49. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first three requests of the Lord's Prayer, brothers and sisters, are interrelated very much. The words of each petition are clear and distinct. Yet with the explanation in the Heidelberg Catechism, it strikes us how much overlap there is. In the first petition, we pray that we may so direct our whole life, what we think and say and do, that God's name be honored by us. In the plea of the second petition, we ask that we may be ruled by God's word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to him. God wants an army of volunteers to serve him. Well, that's what we express in the third petition. As citizens in his kingdom, we desire that we may all faithfully carry out the will of God. Unless God brings it to pass that everyone in his own place and calling diligently does his will, his kingdom cannot be established and his name won't be hallowed the way the angels do. As the Lord Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Mark 7, verse 21. That's why we cry out, help us to renounce our own will and obey the Father's. We will fall and we will fail, yet with his grace and Holy Spirit, God's will must be our goal. On earth as it is in heaven. Yes, indeed, beloved, you hear that right. I remind you of his grace and Holy Spirit, which I emphasize so much when dealing with Lord's Days 44 and 45. We need it. We have seen in the previous Lord's Days to do God's will as contained in the Ten Commandments. By his grace and Holy Spirit, God renews us in his image, and we show it in the fruit of the Spirit. We also learn his will from other parts of God's holy word, such as our passage in Titus chapter 2. Then we confess in the Lord's days about the Ten Commandments how God's will is taught in many realistic and concrete circumstances. Titus 2 also brings this very close to us in a very practical and personal way. Perhaps Paul articulates this will in a way that is even too concrete and too personal for our liking. He articulates God's will to the older and younger men and women in very controversial ways, you might think. Still, it is in accord with sound doctrine, he says. In other words, it's very useful for our understanding of the doctrine as confessed in Lord's Day 49. And this is not Paul's opinion, but God's will, it means. Hence, we need God's grace and Holy Spirit now too, realizing how easily we fail as older men and women and fall as younger men and women. Yes, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us deny our own will and obey God's will, for it alone is good. So we pray, help us to obey your will and serve you, as in heaven, our first point, so on earth, our second point. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. Help us to obey your will and serve you as in heaven, so on earth. Your will be done the way it is in heaven, our first point. Help us that we and all men may renounce our own wills. The Heidelberg Catechism expresses it as interpretation of the third request. Well, brothers and sisters, that understanding certainly is relevant when considering our scripture passages. Did Jeremiah ever have a hard time with that when the Lord called him to prophesy? He knew it would bring him in difficult circumstances. God's people would not appreciate his words or God's will for their lives, for that matter. Well, indeed, we read how hard his life was and how he struggled to keep it up, desiring himself even rather to die or to quit than to do God's will. Perhaps we have the same reaction when reading Paul's letter to Titus. In fact, I know from certain sisters how upset they are when reminded of this task or confronted with these inclinations and practices. Be reverent? Me? Don't slander or be addicted to wine? They will snicker. Tell the younger women to be stay-at-home moms? Submissive to their husbands? Thanks, but no thanks. They won't listen anyway. And so God's will and our will clash. Then it's for reasons of wisdom and good instruction, beloved, when we hear the Lord Jesus draw the attention to the angels in heaven. He uses them as examples, that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Apparently, they don't have difficulty doing God's will. God's will is their will as well. They obey his will without murmuring, for they know how good God's will is. Indeed, they fly upon God's command and bring their message to Lot, to Manoah, to Zechariah, to Mary. They join the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane to give him strength. Thousands of angels are standing ready to join Michael in his battles. They don't argue, but fight. Now, we may be able to understand this, beloved, in the cases I just mentioned. But what about the angels who are sent to bring judgment? Remember, when David had numbered his people to see how great his power was, Even though David showed deep remorse, he was punished nonetheless. The angel has to bring 3 days of pestilence. He has to stretch out his hand, and 70,000 people died. Imagine that you get a task like that as angel. Would you do that without murmuring? Well, the angel did, as we confess, willingly and faithfully. Remember also the 7 angels who poured out the bowls of God's wrath, Revelation 16. The plagues they bring upon God's behalf. Still, they did it without arguing. Yes, about the angel in charge of the waters, who changed the waters on earth into blood, we hear that he praises God for his just judgment. Isn't that astonishing? How could they do it? Are they that loveless or what? Without feelings or doing their work in a mindless way? That's how we would react, right? But no, they were doing God's will faithfully and willingly. How is that possible, beloved? It has everything to do with the way God created his angels. As we confess in Belgian Confession, Article 12, he also created the angels good to be his messengers and to serve his elect. There we also confess, however, that some of these have fallen from the exalted position in which God created them into everlasting perdition. In other words, even before man fell into sin on earth, in heaven a part of the host of angels fell away from God definitively. But the others, Belgian Confession, Article 12 says, have by the grace of God remained steadfast and continued in their first state. Well, these good angels, the ones who remain steadfast, they can do nothing else but obey the will of God. That's their nature and their office. They would not think of murmuring or arguing or disobeying, or rebelling. They are not that way at all. They are willing and faithful always. Well, beloved, it's those angels, of course, whom the Lord Jesus uses as examples. Among them are indeed the ones who follow Michael in his battles against the fallen angels. And of course, he fights them, the devil and his allies, because he loves his God and only wishes to protect him in his holiness. These battles are fierce in the heavenly realms, as Paul mentions in Ephesians 6, and they aim to preserve the elect who will inherit salvation, Hebrews 1, verse 14. They are involved, actually, in the spiritual warfare in which we are struggling, of which Lord's Day 48 speaks regarding the battle to come to the kingdom of God. Also, other angels, however, belong to the ones who have remained faithful and are standing at God's beck and call to come to our aid, for instance, so as to protect us. We sang about them in Psalm 91. They protect us in all our ways. And even if those ways end up in suffering and death, they will be there to carry us into Abraham's bosom, as the Lord Jesus intimates in the story he tells about the death of the poor Lazarus. He also spoke about them in regard to the little ones in his church. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Matthew 18, verse 10. I will leave it at this, beloved, for as far as the angels are concerned, we know enough about their service to be reminded of their willing and faithful service. The Lord Jesus' purpose, however, is to use them as examples for us. His aim with the third petition, however, is our obedience, our restoration in service, our recreation in office and image in which we are created. Well, Christ's work of salvation and renewal aims to restore us in God's image, we have seen. And this image entailed that we live again for God, serve Him as His representatives on earth, and do our task in true holiness and righteousness. Now, true righteousness that is in thankful obedience and service according to His will. Just like the angels in heaven. So that brings us to our second point, your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. You can imagine, brothers and sisters, how the Lord Jesus, who Himself desired nothing more gladly but to do the Father's will, wanted to see those who are His do the same. Well, being the wise teacher that He was, He uses this picture of the angels for that purpose. It may have reminded Him of His Father's delight to see these angels do His will. Would it be something if my children did my will the way these angels do? Yes, even more so, my children. Angels are servants, but children belong to my divine family. Christ bought them with His precious blood. But yet, as I already indicated, with these children of the Father, it doesn't always work as well as with those servants. In fact, these children murmur a lot. They argue, and quite often they refuse to deny their own will. Yes, God's will is not always their will. How come, beloved? How come we are so different from the angels? Well, we confess that too in Article 12 of the Belgian Confession. This fall of the devil and his evil spirits had consequences for us here on earth. Yes, the fall in the world of angels led to the fall in the world of men. Jude writes about this in his epistle, verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these He kept in darkness. You know, recently I spoke about this with one of my neighbors who asked me how this sin, this evil, came into the world. Well, I said, it came from the realm of the angels. Some of them became conceited. They exalted themselves and did not want to accept their position of servitude. They wanted to be like God. But realizing that they couldn't, they wanted to undermine God's work of creation. Hence, they went down to the world of men and deceived them, seducing them to rebel against God. Well, how could this be? The man asked. It's because God created angels as servants with a will, not puppets, and with an office and accountability to their master, not robots. The same goes for men. They were responsible creatures with a will. Now, it is with this will that the problem arose, beloved. Man now is a creature who became God's adversary. He resists God's will. That's what the devil instilled in us when he told us, when you eat of that tree, you will be just like God. You will be able to determine yourself what is good or evil. Hence, we now judge by our own standards, go by our own feelings, use our own logic, and defend our position with our common sense. Yes, we do so even when we know that things go directly against God's holy will, his explicit commandments. Just as it was with the angels who fell from their exalted position. That's why they are sentenced to eternal damnation and daily expect their horrible torments. Now that's where the difference with men comes in. For these fallen angels, the situation became terrible, hopeless, with no possibility for salvation, while for men there was that mother promise, the promise of salvation in the seed of the woman. That was thanks to God's grace and goodness. That was thanks to God's gift of his only begotten Son, because he loved the world so much, because he loved men so much. That's the gospel, beloved. The glad tiding for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, God's Son. He changes those who believe in him. He renews them so that they will die to their old nature and rise in newness of heart and mind and will. No, not right away, not completely in this life yet. No, that's a process, a constant changing so that he submits to his will more and more. That's why he prays, help us, that we may obey your will and serve you again. It's going to be a struggle of the old nature and the new, a fight against our own will, a struggle with self-denial. It's a fight against the devil too and his whole dominion, for he doesn't want to see people do God's will again. That's why we are involved in a spiritual warfare, the battle between God and Satan, between Christ and the devil, and between the faithful angels and the fallen angels. We are right in the midst of this battle, beloved. It's being fought right in our own heart. That's where God's Spirit dwells, where God's Spirit goes to work. He instills more and more a love for God's commandments. He fills us with joy more and more for God's service. He bends our will to make us more and more willing and faithful to carry out the duties of our office and calling. He uses God's word for that. He urges us to listen to that word, to study it, to know God's will. In that same heart, however, there is the inclination toward disobedience, to weakness, and to resistance. That shows in our lack of interest in God's word, our stubborn resistance against God's will. It's where the devil sows his seeds of conceit, of arrogance, which makes us question God's will and his way. We have our own opinion, the way we see it. Yes, even the way we interpret God's word or deny that it gives an answer regarding God's will. Thus we claim freedoms for ourselves because we are unwilling to do God's will. We find it too difficult to go God's way, to make the sacrifices he requires. That's why there is that struggle in our heart. That's why the Lord Jesus taught us to pray the third petition, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you recognize that struggle, beloved? You'll agree with me, I'm sure, that the Apostle Paul describes this struggle very vividly and accurately in Romans 7. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. In other words, actually, you want to do God's will and obey Him in your life, but every time again things go wrong and you do the evil you did not want to do again. Just like Paul, you see another law at work in the members of your body, waging war against the law of your mind and heart and making you a prisoner of the law of sin at work within your members. In that sense, we are different from the angels in heaven. Those angels, as we have seen, cannot do anything but listen and obey and do God's will faithfully and willingly, because in the beginning, they remained steadfast while man didn't. That's why we have to pray and work. We pray that God may give, that we delight in His will, in His commandments, and we go to work in the place and calling God has given us. We have to fight in the spirit and against the flesh. We have to pray for God's grace and Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. Indeed, beloved, let's be honest. This struggle is not without disappointments and setbacks. How discouraging it can be at times when we think we have licked a certain sin and we fall back into it after all. You may have those times at which you are thankful and content with your life of service to the Lord, and before you know it, in a weak and unguarded moment, you fall and you have to start all over again. Then it is so good that we have the third petition. Then it's so good that the Lord Jesus teaches us to look up to our Heavenly Father and seek the grace of His Holy Spirit. For you know, we fight our fights in our own strength so often, and in that way run stuck in our own weaknesses time and again. Then we must remember that it's the Lord Jesus who taught us to pray, "Your will be done." We are reminded of Him and we are told to pray for His sake, asking God's help in His name. Then we may be assured by our Savior that God will certainly hear us. He will give us His grace and His Holy Spirit to help us do God's will again and obey His commandments. Then everything will be good again because we do God's will, which alone is good. Then it's just as in heaven again, where it's good, because God, there God's will is done by everyone, by the angels, for instance. Therefore, when we listen to Christ's prayer instruction and follow His example in seeking God's will, and remember the example of the angels, we will seek to do God's will and pray for it. Your will be done. Amen. Let us also sing about this in number 521, the stanzas 3 and 4.